So good morning. Thank you for that lovely words, Jacob. What you left out is that my business, I'm a drug dealer. And actually, I sold most of my drugs on the South Side, so it was very convenient. But I'm a pharmacist, I have to report to Adam. I don't know. I thought you guys weren't so judgmental like that, but... No, I did. I still own the business. In fact, Hazel worked for us. She still works for us right now. So it's a pleasure to be here today. I'm excited about this. Last week when Cindy was talking, it's like I'm not a musical person at all, so don't ever ask me to come up here and lead worship. You do not want that. Your church will go down to zero. But what I think the word is, it crescendo? Is that the proper musical word? Like it starts low and it just builds and builds and builds until there's this eruption? And that's what, as I was sitting here last week, that's what I felt. I just felt this building up and building up. Because Sydney, she didn't know this, but she was kind of setting up for what I was going to talk about today. She was presenting some things that are going to fit right into this. And even this morning as we're talking about, you're singing about kingdom things, I'm like going, God, this is amazing. Like, I didn't speak to any of them about what I was going to talk about today. And we're singing about your kingdom. You're singing about Sydney saying things about reconciliation and who we are. In fact, do you remember she said this statement last week? She goes, we need to remember who we are. So who are you? Who are you? That's what I'm going to hope to maybe answer that question a little bit today, to discuss of who we really are. And what does Paul writing about when he says these things and these words we're going to look at Ephesians today, of who we are? Now, here's a question some of you can answer. Who's ever traveled to a foreign country? About half of you have traveled. So you'll know what I'm talking about. So when you fly into a foreign country, you have to go through a certain process, right? Like you have to go through customs and immigration. And sometimes that's not very much fun. But why do we have to do that? Because we're foreigners. We're strangers to that. You might even say that we're illegals. And we don't have any rights. We don't have any privileges. We're not protected by those laws. We don't have the same protections that we have of the citizens of that country. So we have to go through immigration and go through customs so they make sure that you are who you say you are and to protect their citizens. So the process when we get off this airplane, we go through line and we're going through and, you know, a lot of times you got to go and maze through this maze, and it's long, and that's tedious in its own right. But then you get to the line, and you go, I got to wait in that. But so you got a lot of time to wait, and you're going, okay, where's my passport? Oh, no, I lost my passport. What am I going to do? Oh, there it is. I got it. Then you go, oh, well, do I have the right visa? What if I don't have the right visa? What happens then? And then I'm watching, and there's this person that like you can tell they're kind of getting agitated and things are happening. And then all of a sudden this person is escorted to another room and you're like, oh, is that going to happen to me? But then you get up there in line and you're looking around and, you know, you have all your paperwork, things are good, but you're also looking around and there's all these soldiers around the room with, well, they're not the hand weapons our guys carry. These guys are automatic rifles. And they don't look very happy, and they look like they want to use them. That's what it means to be illegal, to be a stranger, to be a foreigner. Now, there's an old movie. I don't really remember it, but I know that I think it's a Tom Hanks movie called The Terminal. And what happens there is that his character, he's traveling on a plane to the United States, and as he's traveling, I think his country like falls apart and is no longer a country. So he gets here and his passport's no longer valid because it's not a country. So he gets trapped in this area and he has to live there. And he's just stuck there. And he can't go back home. He can't go into the United States because really he has no rights. He has no citizenship. There's nothing. He's in just in this never, never land, just stuck. But when we come back to the United States, right, like it's a better line. If you come back to the United States, like it still might be long, but it's a pretty fast line. Like you go through and well, unless you, somebody I know tried to smuggle some contraband tulip bulbs from Netherlands. I'm not going to say who that is because she'll get mad with me and I have to go home with her today. But then you get some more questions and you kind of have to answer some things. But usually you answer your passport, you answer some questions and hey, it's not a big deal. You get to come back in. Why? Because we're citizens. We're part of that country. We're part of, let me just say, we're part of that kingdom. So let's see what Ephesians has for us today. Ephesians 2:19. I'm just going to read the first part. It says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers. What do you think of those words after what I just said? You are no longer foreigners or strangers. Now, Paul is writing this letter. He's writing this letter because in several of his letters, there's this problem in this world right now, in his time. I'm going to call it the Gentile problem. Because what do you do with these Gentiles? You know, Jesus came, there's this group of Jews that came to follow him and they came to believe in him. They saw him resurrect from the dead. They received life. They're filled with the Holy Spirit, but they're Jewish. Well, all of a sudden, this gospel message, this good news is being spread to the Gentiles. These people that the Jewish people, you know, in the temple, yeah, there's the Gentile court, but there's only so far that the Gentiles can go. They can't go any further because the Gentile wasn't a chosen people. These are people that you're not going to sit down and eat dinner with. Jesus got in trouble for that. You're not going to invite these people over. You don't really associate with Gentiles. But yet we have this problem. Because what are we going to do with these Gentiles that are coming to know Jesus? These Gentiles that I'm going to imagine that because of this adversity, there probably was even a lot of hatred for Gentiles. Which, don't we have the same problem right now in our world? There are so many sides of, well, these people are this and these people are that, and I can't be with these people and I can't talk to these people and I don't like these people. And there's this hatred and this fighting that is going on. So we've got a Gentile problem ourselves. But Adam didn't ask me to talk about that, so I'm going to leave that for him. Or I can come back another time and we can talk about that. But what I want you to see is that the Jews and Gentiles really weren't supposed to associate with each other. But we have this new problem. We have this problem of this new group of people that were once Jewish that are now followers of Jesus, followers of Christ that have received life, and they're seeing Gentiles come to know this same Jesus. And they're going, what are we going to do with these people? What are we going to, like, I don't, like, I know, let's make them all Jewish. I don't think that's not what this means. So they're struggling to do. What do we do with these? What do we do with these? And Paul is saying, you know what? They're no longer foreigners. They're no longer strangers. Then the next part of this verse 19, it says, but fellow citizens with God's people. They're citizens. That means when they get to come back in the country, they go through that short immigration line. They get to just show their passport, answer a couple of questions, and say, welcome back. Because they're part of the kingdom. They're part of this kingdom and they're entitled to the same rights, the same privileges. Everything that we all together are entitled to is part of God's kingdom. Paul is saying, Jew, Gentile, whatever, we are part of the same kingdom. We're part of this kingdom, part of God's kingdom. We're no longer these separate groups of people. We're each individuals, but we're part of the same. We're all part of the same human race. We're all created by God. We are all citizens of his kingdom. It doesn't matter what your story is. It doesn't matter if your story, like he said, I came from the South Side. Like any given time, I had felons, abusers, child molesters, child abusers, prostitutes, drug addicts, millionaires, billionaires, you name it, was in that church. Their story wasn't so bad that Jesus didn't love them and die for them so they can have forgiveness of their sins. And we also had people over here that grew up in the church. They were church kids. They were pastor's kids. They've never sinned in their life. They were liars, but that's what they would say. They were all part of God's kingdom. We're all citizens in this kingdom. When we come to know Jesus and we receive his grace and mercy and receive the forgiveness of our sins, the blood of Jesus covered every one of us so we can become citizens. Paul's saying, you're no longer Jew. You're no longer Gentile. There is one kingdom, and it is God's kingdom, and that is period. And we're all members of this. All together, citizens of this kingdom. It's a community. A community of believers. There's a community right here. Jacob mentioned that how I got to know some of you and how you got to know me and I got to know Adam was because we didn't see thing, oh, this is Vineyard Church. That's Foursquare Church. That's a Baptist church. What can we really associate with Baptists? I don't know. But it doesn't matter. We're all part of one kingdom. We're all the same citizens. We're all invited into this kingdom. We're all welcome. But if you don't, it's like you haven't heard me preach, but I say but a lot because there's always more of the story. But there's more. And this is the crescendo. This is what just gets me excited. Because at the end of verse 19, this is what it says. And members of his household. Do you know what that means? We're not just citizens. We're family. That means we're family. That means I am a son and daughter of God. I'm part of his family. I'm not just a citizen that can come into the kingdom, but I'm family. I want to read these verses out of Romans to you, Romans 8, 14 through 17, in a second here. These verses, as I was at Hope Center, like it literally changed the course of my preaching, changed the course of my life. And because I read these and I looked at that and I already described that group of people to you. And a lot of them, there's a lot of rules that you have to follow in order to stay. Well, maybe just to stay, not to stay out of jail. There's all these rules. And if they failed, well, then they were a failure. And then they went back to jail. And then they just went further down a different road. Like a lot of us probably have that same thing. And I read these verses and I'm going, there is freedom in these verses. There is freedom. So let me read these. Let me read these to you out of Romans. It says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Sons and daughters of God. We're his children. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. I don't need to live in fear. I don't need to live in this fear that I have because if I don't do this and do that and do everything that I'm supposed to, that I'm going to fail. Or fear that something bad's going to happen to me. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. One of my other gigs I have is I work for ChildBridge. So as that, we try to find parents for foster kids who hopefully maybe someday will be adoptive parents. And when you adopt a child, that becomes your child. That is now your child. That child is part of your family. It is your son or your daughter. That's what this is saying. It's saying we are adopted to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. We're heirs. When you're an heir, what do you get? You get everything that your mom and dad have. You're entitled to, you have everything, you have the inheritance. We have the inheritance. Doesn't matter, we're all family. Jews, Gentiles, citizens, non-citizens, all the people who, regardless of where you came from, regardless of your past, we are all part of this kingdom. We're all family. When we accept that grace, the mercy, the forgiveness that we have through Jesus, we're filled with the Spirit. We become family. Now, Sydney spoke last week of reconciliation. Reconciliation is just one of those big fancy church words. But that's a big fancy church word that says exactly what I'm saying, that we're forgiven by Jesus. When we accept that forgiveness, it's free. It's free. He's the one that paid the price. He's the one that paid the price on that cross. Died for our sins. His blood washed over us, wiped it all away. So that we can become back to our relationship as sonship. It's what I just read, adopted to sons and daughters of God. We can have that restored to us. We can have that reconciliation to our Father, to our Heavenly Father. And I'm gonna use, this might be a little uncomfortable for people, but I can say to our Heavenly Father, we can say Papa. To our Father, Papa, Papa God. That we're reconciled, that we come home into his house, not just as citizens. I mean, I can go to the White House right now. Well, I think I can. I think it's not closed, but I think we can go to the White House as citizens and we can have a tour, right? But we don't get to go everywhere. There's places we don't get to see. But this is saying, I'm a part of the family. I can go everywhere. I can ride my Hot Wheels through the entire White House because I'm family. Nothing's off limits. As an heir, I'm saying, I get the blessing. I have the inheritance. All that is in Papa's house is mine. I have everything that he has that's available is available to me because I'm part of Papa's kingdom. To illustrate this, you'll see these three stools up here, these three chairs. And this actually I'm stealing from a friend of mine, and he wouldn't care. This friend of mine called, his name is Leif Hetland. He's a friend of mine, and his illustration, like literally this illustration came from me, but I was living this parallel life until our paths crossed and we met each other. And I was like, you just put to words and wrote books and are somewhat famous for what has been going on in my heart. So we're going to talk about these three chairs. This is chair three. This is chair three. This is kingdom without God. Remember, Sydney said last week she didn't believe in God for a while. She didn't think he existed. This is that chair. People that don't know about Jesus, or maybe they've heard about Jesus, but they said, I don't want anything to do with that. This is a kingdom of darkness. Kingdom without God. Chair two, kingdom of self. It's all about me. It's kingdom of what do I need to do? Chair three, this is Papa's house. This is a kingdom of love. This is a kingdom of grace. It's a kingdom of mercy. This is a kingdom of rest. Chair three, this is who we're called to disciple to. Jesus said, go make disciples in the world. That's who he's talking about. It's chair three. These are people that need to know Jesus. They need to come to Jesus. Chair one and chair two, we both know Jesus. We all know Jesus. We're all saved. We've received his mercy, received his grace, received the forgiveness. We're going to heaven. But there's a difference in these chairs too, chair one and chair two. We spend a lot of time in chair two. I spend a lot of time in chair two. Spend a lot of time in chair two. Chair two, I sit here and I go, it's all this stuff that needs to be done. If I don't do it, who's going to do it? I need to do this. I need to do this because I have to do this work to become something. And once I become something, then I am. I am a good Christian then. If I do all this stuff and I do it, then I'm gonna be okay. I'm gonna be all of these things. I need to do it. So it's the kingdom of self, because I'm the one doing it. I'm doing it with my, it's hard, it's stressful, it's fearful, because we fear if I don't do it, then who's going to do it? And then I'm going to fail. I don't have freedoms in this chair. I'm saved. I know Jesus, but I'm doing the work because I have to do the work. Chair one, I rest. Because I'm in Papa's house. I have his love. He looks at me and he goes, "Oh, my beloved son." Looks at you, "Oh, my beloved sons, my beloved daughters." You know what? You don't need to earn that A plus, because with me, you already have the A plus. You know what? You don't need to do all of these things to become something, because you already are. In this chair, I know who I am. I'm God's son, God's daughter. I have the inheritance. I have the blessing. I have God's love pouring out over me. I am filled with love. And when I know who I am, I don't need to become anybody, because I already am. And I do things because, do you remember Jesus said, "I only do what I see my Father doing"? So I do what I see my Father doing. I do it because this is what people in the family, this is what we do. Chair two, I do it so I can become part of the family. Chair one, I'm already in the family, so I do it. We might do exactly the same things, but chair two, I come from it from a place of stress, a place of fear, a place of just anxiety. Chair one, oh, there's somebody in need. I'm going to go help them, because that's what we do. That's what kingdom people do. That's what the family does. Think of it this way, and there's another way of thinking this too. So chair two, those people can be pretty annoying. Chair one, they're anointed. Chair two, I see a leper come through the door and I say, "Hey, you can't come in here, you're unclean. Get out of here. Get out. You we're fearful." Chair one sees a leper, says, "Come here." Embraces that leper because they see that leper is clean. And see that leper become clean. Now, I was talking this week with another ministry thing I do, but I was talking, and she is a alcoholic. She's 4 years sober, which great. That's I'm excited for her. She's in AA, and she's talking about how, you know, my sponsor, I'm having trouble with, like, I just. There's all these rules that she wants me to do. I have to go to a meeting every night. I have to do this and do this and I do this and I do. Are you seeing what I'm saying? This is chair two. I do, I become, and I am. I do all of these things. I become sober, and therefore I am no longer an alcoholic. Now, AA is great. I'm not knocking it. All of these programs are great. They're good. But what I'm saying is, there's a lot of chair two in that. I do, I do, I do, I do, I do. And then she started to say, she said, "You know, I'm not that person anymore." She's a believer now. She's saying, "I don't need that anymore. Like, I already know that I am." She knows that she is, so she does the same thing. She still probably goes to the meeting. She still follows all the rules, but she's doing it from a different motivation. She's doing it because she's in chair one. She's part of the family. She's already become. So she is, so she does. Not, "I do so that I am." So when Sydney asks, remember who you are. Who are you? Who are you? Well, if you're going to, answer me that question, you know what I'm going to tell you? I'm God's beloved son. I'm loved by my father. I'm loved by papa. And I'm his son. I don't need to be anything else. I don't need to worry about all these other things that I worry about because you know what? My papa loves me and I'm his son. And everything that he has, I have access to. And Jesus is, I'm going to say Jesus is the one that puts it all together. He's the glue. It was his sacrifice. He's the one that brings us all together in this. Restoring this relationship to with our Father. So I can say Papa. Now, let's look at the rest of this, these verses in Ephesians. This is verses 20 through 22. It says, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. I think Paul is saying, you know what, you Jews and you Gentiles, you're all part of the same building. It's built on Jesus. Jesus is the cornerstone. Jesus is what holds it all together. So it doesn't matter your background. Jesus holds it together and provides a way for us to be a son and daughter. Do you remember verse 18 last week? It's right at the end. We went through it pretty fast, but it says, for through him, Jesus, we both, Jews and Gentiles, have access to the Father, access to Papa, by one Spirit. So we have access, not just as citizens, but as family. So I have a friend that has an airplane of his own, and it's really nice. Like, it's, if you ever have a friend that has an airplane, I hope he takes you on. But you know what? You get to go to a different airport. You get to go to airports that don't have TSA and security. You literally walk through the door, say, I'm in so-and-so. You give the tail number, said, okay, have a nice flight, and you walk on. You fly back, fly into the airport, you go, hey, and there's, and when you get off the airplane, like, there's snacks, good snacks, in the little airport. And you have access to all that. That's what this is saying, because we're family. We have access to this. And we get to come in and I have access to our Father. I have access to God. I think of it this way. I can crawl in. I can go into God's kingdom. I can go into his house and I can crawl up on his lap and sit there and just be embraced by him and have his love pour over me. And those of you that have grandkids, I just got one and another one on the way, and I'm jealous because my wife gets to go there all the time and see him, and I just get to FaceTime with her. But I cherish the moments when I see her, she crawls up in my lap and just gives me a big love, and I get to give her an unconditional love back when she's in Papa's arms. And that's what I see Papa doing. That's what I see God just longing for us to come home and come into his family and let him embrace us and let him love us. And the one thing I'll say with my granddaughter is, you better not mess with her because Papa's going to be mad. And it's going to have his wrath. You know what? Papa does the same for us. He protects us. But it's through Jesus. It's through this price that Jesus paid for us on this cross to restore us to this relationship as family. I'm going to read this Matthew 11 to you. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Because this is what it's like being in Papa's house. It says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's what it's like to be in chair one. That's what it's like when we are in chair one as part of the family. And we realize that I'm not just a citizen. Chair two, you're a citizen. Yep, you're part of the kingdom. But chair one, you're family. When we live in that, stay in that thought of being family, like it's really easy to go back to chair two and feel like I have to do all of these things. But when we have Jesus, when we have the Spirit, when we're filled with the Spirit, we can sit in peace. We can sit in joy. We can sit in rest because the yoke is light. The burden is easy. And we can begin to well, what did Jesus say about our enemies? When we begin to love like Jesus, he said, pray for your enemies. He said, love your neighbor. But he redefined neighbor. If you remember, your neighbor was your enemy. Your neighbor was those that hate you. And you pray for them and you love them. But why do you do that? Because that's what the family does. Because we're a part of a family business. And we pray for those enemies. Why? Because we want them to come home to the family as well. And we rejoice when that enemy finds Jesus and accepts the same thing we have, and they become family, and we get to welcome them with open arms and love. And they get to be part of the same community, the same family that we are. So I don't do things to be something, to then be part of something. I am part of something. I'm part of God's family. I'm part of his kingdom. And I do things because that's what the family business does. And we love one another just as our Father loves us, because we're family. If we can have the worship team come up, I'm just going to pray for us. Some of this, you guys may have already known this. And you may have been living this freedom of being a son and daughter of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Some of you, this might be new. And you're stuck in chair two. You're here in chair two. I want to pray that you have freedom. That you see what chair one is. And you see what it means to be family. You see the freedom we have of just realizing I'm a son of God. I'm God's beloved daughter. I'm his beloved son. There's nothing I can do to lose that love. He loves me unconditionally. He pours out his love on us. And that love just flows through us, and we love one another. So let me pray. Lord, I pray for everybody listening online that's here in this room. Lord, I just pray right now that... I don't know if you guys do this on Sunday or not, but I'm going to do it. If you're in chair three and you're hearing this message today and you want to see what Jesus has for you and you want to move into even chair one or chair two, it doesn't matter. You want to be part of the kingdom. Just look up at me, maybe raise a hand. Just say, I want this kingdom. I want to leave this kingdom of darkness alone. Now I'm going to pray. If my words today, it's not really mine. These are God's words. If you're in chair two and something resonated with you and you are going to want to be in chair one, I'm going to pray that you look up at me as well. Just look up at me and say, I want to be in chair one. I want to know what it's like to be in God's family. I want to know what Papa's love. I don't want to live in fear anymore. I don't want to live in anxiety. I don't want to feel like I got to do all of these things just to earn my Father's love. I already have it. So, Lord, I pray for today. I pray for your Spirit to move. I pray for people to come home to the family, Lord. I pray for tonight. There is just a royal feast at the house, and everybody's just as excited and full of joy and full of happiness, and we can leave all of our burdens and stress and anxiety and fear away, because we know that we're in your presence, that we know we're your beloved son and daughter. So we pray for all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.